Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to be back with you this week as we're continuing to celebrate Christmas. I hope you had an amazing Christmas with your family, celebrating the coming of our Lord as the incarnate Word. If you were with us last week, my friend Katie and I talked about John chapter 1. We got through just a couple verses of John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. What does it mean that the light of the world has come? And so as a church, friends, we continue to celebrate this reality. We continue to celebrate Christmas. It's not just one and done. We're still in the Christmas season. And so I want to encourage you to stay there. I want to encourage you to continue to stay in the spirit of Christmas, not in a worldly way, but in a way that the church brings us liturgically into this octave of Christmas, where we continue to celebrate in a special way the coming of our Lord Jesus. The true light that enlightens the heart of every man has come into the world. And I want to encourage you, a good way to do that is to listen to our show this week, to go back and to listen to last week's show, to really meditate on those mysteries. And friends, I want to encourage you to celebrate. I know we've been doing a lot of celebrating. You're like, I can't do any more celebrating. I've eaten so many Christmas cookies. It was funny. I sent out a text to my family. I'm like, please send what you think are the best Christmas cookies and the worst Christmas cookies and do a ranking of them. And so you've probably eaten a lot of cookies. And if you're like me, I even just eat the ones that I don't even like just because they're out, you know? And so that's kind of like the Christmas season. You're like, I've done so much celebrating. I've done so much eating. But in a way, the church is inviting us to really celebrate liturgically and to say, it doesn't mean, I'm not saying have more parties. I'm not saying take more time off of work or whatever it is, but really practice that restful, celebratory disposition of heart. How each day during this octave of Christmas, can we acknowledge the coming of Christ into our lives? Jesus, show us where you are. Show us how you're coming. Show us how you're born in me today. And to have that awareness of Jesus, the Word made flesh, the light that comes into the world, have that awareness in our hearts. So truly, I hope you had a blessed Christmas, and we're going to continue on in the Christmas season this week. And one of the things that we've done in the past with different holidays like Easter or holidays in the church, I want to do now for Christmas, and it's looking at what does the church say to us in the scriptures immediately after we celebrate this amazing solemnity. And so immediately after we celebrate Christmas, after the 25th happens and it's the readings about Jesus' birth, what does the church begin to communicate to us through the readings? And so I want to actually go back to the 26th and take a look at the readings from the 26th, the day right after Christmas, and say, what is the church saying to us immediately after Christ is born, immediately after the church communicates this to us, Christ has come into the world, now what? We've done this with Easter before. And so we want to look at that and apply it to our lives of what is the readings that the church is giving us? And what does that actually mean? Because there's always a deeper meaning about what the church gives us liturgically to take in as part of the feast of the Eucharist. We read these readings in the liturgy of the word to feed us. And so we say the church is feeding us in a particular way. And so what do those readings say? What does that mean? So we're going to look at that. And I want to first just pray. Let's pray together. And then we're going to read. We're going to go through the first reading. And maybe we'll get to the gospel this week. We'll have to see how much we get to. So if you'll join me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've come into the world. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son. And Lord, we ask that this mystery of the incarnation would never get old or boring to us. It would never become something that just passes as a holiday where we open presents, that it would stay in our hearts with wonder and awe that God has come to us. That we, the people who've walked in darkness, have seen a great light through the coming of Christ. Keep that flame burning in our hearts as we walk in this Christmas season and as we continue to walk in the rest of the year. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as I said, we want to go into the readings of the church. What is the church communicating to us after Christmas? Jesus, the Word is made flesh. God becomes man and is born as a baby. This is what we commemorate on Christmas. This is what we celebrate. And then what does the church give us right afterwards? So I want to start in Acts chapter 6. The first reading of the Mass on December 26th is the reading from Acts, and it's a celebration of a martyr. And this is amazing, friends, even to look into and internalize that the church, we celebrate Christmas, that God has come into the world. Jesus has come. He's brought light into the darkness. And then the first Mass after Christmas is celebrating Saint Stephen, the first martyr of the church. So there's something even in that, that the church is telling us that as we receive Christ, when we truly receive the incarnate Word, what it means to follow him in some sense is martyrdom. That the church is showing us immediately after Christ is born, this is what it means to follow Jesus. This is the pathway. This is the cost. This is what it looks like. This is what it means to follow Jesus. So we go from a solemnity, Jesus being born, to the first martyr in Acts, Saint Stephen. From birth to martyrdom. There's something beautiful there that Christ invites us to pray with. Let's begin. We're going to begin in Acts 6, verse 8. Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and people from Cilicia and Asia, came forward and debated with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and spirit with which he spoke. I'm going to stop right there. The reading is going to skip ahead to the next chapter, but I want to just fill in the blank here. And I want to pick up again in verse 11. It says, but they could not stand up against the wisdom and the spirit which with he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men, saying, we have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. And they seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, this fellow never stops speaking against the holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us. All who were sitting looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to pick up the rest tomorrow. But let's just begin here. The first line, Stephen, filled with grace and power. So we have Christmas. Jesus Christ is born into the world. The Savior of the world has come. The next day, the Feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr. And it tells us about Stephen, he was filled with grace and he was filled with power. So what exactly is going on here? We see St. Stephen. Who is St. Stephen? And I think this is important to understand. Stephen was in the early church, and a couple chapters before this, the apostles are serving, they're preaching and teaching. The church is growing by the thousands. Peter will preach in the temple, and 3,000 will be added, and they'll say, what should we do? And he'll say, be baptized, and they're added to the church. So the church is growing. And it says they begin to serve one another. They begin to share all things in common. They begin to have what we now know as the Mass. They begin to do all these things in community, and the people come together and they say, we need more help. Like, we need more leadership. And so the apostles are saying, okay, we're doing this preaching and teaching, and we're doing, you know, we're consecrating the Eucharist. We're doing all these different things. We need some more servers. And so essentially Stephen is ordained as a deacon. And we see this a couple chapters ahead of time. This gives some context. He's ordained to be a server of the table. He's ordained to do a particular kind of service. But what I love about knowing that background and then seeing these first couple of verses with Stephen, it says, Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. But you say, wait, he was a deacon. And I think if we think of the early church, there's not so much separation in terms of like the laity and the hierarchy and all this kind of stuff. And of course, the priests, the apostles, the ones who are functioning in the apostolic ministry are doing the things like the mass and hearing confessions, you know, like the things that we would say are sacraments. But Stephen, he was picked to be a server. They said, you can serve the tables. And so he's filled with grace and power because he's fallen in love with the person of Jesus Christ. And he's heard about him and he's passionate about him and he's following about him. But he's not just serving at the table. As he's serving, as he's doing what he's called to do, he's filled with grace and he's filled with power and he's working great signs and wonders. And he's not saying, oh, that's the job of the apostles, or I'm not that special. I'm just the one chosen to serve the tables. He's doing what the Lord asked him to do. And within that post, within that place, the Holy Spirit is working through him. And there's a sign that the church is giving us immediately after saying, this is what it means to follow Christ. The one that you've encountered, the one who's been born on Christmas, the one who establishes his body, the church, that every single person in this body of the church is called to be filled with grace and power like Stephen. Stephen is a sign. Even amongst his post, he's preaching. He's teaching. He's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. He's talking about who Jesus was, and he's working great signs and wonders. There's a revelation of this is for all the followers of Jesus. He's serving at table and he's also debating. He's a deacon and he's debating. He's not like an official apostle who was there when Jesus was there. And friends, sometimes we disqualify ourselves. Even now in this Christmas season, people can ask you, how was your Christmas? And instead of just saying, oh, I got this and I got that, we can say at work, we can say like, oh, I had such an amazing, I went to a beautiful mass and it was amazing to celebrate Jesus coming into the world. I was just really touched by that. We can be more specific. We can, wherever God has put us, we can share the gospel. We can ask the Spirit to fill us with grace and with power. This is not limited to the priests. This is not limited to the hierarchy. This is not limited to the people who work in full-time ministry. Stephen is serving at his post. He was ordained to serve at a table. And you don't see him saying like, wait a minute. Why is everyone turning on me? I'm just a deacon. I'm just serving at the table. Like, don't ask me theological questions. Don't expect me to preach the gospel. Don't expect me to do signs and wonders. No, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He dedicated his life to following Christ. He was ordained as a deacon. He began to serve in the church. And what his service brought him was opportunities to engage with those who did not know Christ. And he doesn't shy away, but he allows the Holy Spirit to fill him with grace and with power. Over and over and over again, we see in the writings of the church, the apostles, the followers of Jesus, the members of the church, they are filled with the Holy Spirit and power. God never intended for you to live a small and powerless life. And with Stephen as a witness that we're going to follow, God wants to empower you in your post, whether it's as a mother, as a teacher, as a student, to be a witness and maybe even a martyr for him. God bless you. Join us again tomorrow as we continue to go through the readings of the church and the story of Stephen. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.